الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، هو الذي سخر لنا ما في السماوات وما في الأرض نعمة منه وفضلا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله اصطفاه واجتباه. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا محمد في الأولين والآخرين وفي كل وقت وحين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وسلم عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, most honorable, most elevated and prestigious messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, and upon his righteous and purified family, and upon the noble companions, and upon all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions, our efforts in coming here today to his home, in listening to the call to the day of Jumu'ah, and flocking here to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek his guidance, to seek his protection and salvation, and more importantly to find success for our lives, and for more importantly for our souls. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means for our salvation and success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Previously on Jumu'ah, we discussed World Mental Health Day. And we also discussed in some detail the three elements to a person's entity. And the element of the heart, the spirit, and the importance of keeping the spirit healthy and pure and clean, and the importance of keeping the mind healthy and clean, and also keeping the body healthy and clean. If you only focus on the body and develop some muscles and think you are an athletic person and keep yourself nice and clean, but you do not cater for the mind and you do not protect your mind from the whispers of shaitan, from the whispers of jinn, from the attacks of insan, from the doubts and seeds that they place within the mind of an individual, which carries on to develop into anxiety and stress and various other problems, because you think this person is saying this about me, he said this, she said this, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. All of these particular aspects to protect the mind is also crucial for the healthy provisions of an individual, for the sustainability of a human being. So to protect the body, to make sure you keep it clothed, to make sure you keep it warm, to make sure you keep it dry, to make sure you eat the correct things and drink the correct things in order for you to sustain your body, and also at the same time to protect your mind as well from all of these attacks of insan, on the attacks of shaitan, in the attacks of jinn, and also the attacks of the dunya as well, because it wants to delude you, it wants to distract you, it wants to put you in anxiety and stress, and constantly think like, if you don't do this, this will happen to you, and you will lose out, or you will not be successful. So protecting the mind, having resilience in the mind, and understanding that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. That everything that comes your way in your life, in terms of challenges, in terms of trials and loss and tribulations and difficulties and calamities, you know in your mind, it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burden you beyond your capacity. So you are physically able and mentally able to take all of these challenges and problems that come your way in your life. Whether it is the loss of a child, the loss of wealth, the loss of a family member or a friend, or provisions or anything else, you know this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keeping your mind intact. Just like when a person, when they swear at you, they haven't physically done anything to you, they've just uttered these particular words, those words have no impact on your body, but it is up to you to allow those words to have an impact on your mind, and for you to get angry, or for you to react in a negative way, or for you to say something in return, or for you to think, oh my God, he must be right, or what he is saying, there must be some truth or element to this. Protecting your mind and making sure that it is strong and resilient to the attacks of insan and jinn and shayateen is also a crucial element to having a healthy life and a sustainable life as well. And finally and most importantly, protecting the soul as well, which is protecting the heart, which is where the soul lives, where the soul dwells. Protecting the soul is a very, very crucial element to the Islamic tradition. And if you just focus on the mind, or just focus on the body and forsake focusing on the soul, then you'll also be in trouble as well. So having a balance in all three elements, a balance in all of these three, is a very, very important aspect to the Islamic tradition. Fusing the soul, the heart and the mind and the body, and making sure that you are living a life of moderation, living a life of balance in the way that you eat, in the way that you drink, in the way that you behave, in the way that you think, in the way that you communicate, and in the way that you feel within your heart. You know that everything returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that there are two gifts which majority of humanity are unmindful of. And those two gifts are good health. Having good health of the body, having good health of the mind, and also having good health of the soul. And the second thing the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was having leisure, i.e. having free time, to utilize your time, your free time that you have, not to think about celebrities and footballers and think about the world and the money and the cars and the properties and all of these other things. Oh, zameen le gaya, oh, kabza kar gaya, oh, eh kar gaya, nuksan kar gaya, jhoot bol gaya, ifrana, dimkan, all of these things. These are all in your mind. It's all in your mind. You can allow it to penetrate your mind and also your heart, or you can just take from one ear and out the other and say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. That nothing comes our way, nothing afflicts us or has been written for us except that it has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let haters hate. Let people say what they want to say. Don't allow it, or don't give it a second thought or a second moment within your mind, because if it does, it will go from your mind and it will go into your heart. It will cripple you and your soul. It will take you away from the lazzah of ibadah. Because when you are constantly worried about something, anxious or depressed or anything else, it will go from your mind, and then you think, what's the point of praying? What's the point of doing zikr? What's the point of giving sadaqah and khairat? What's the point of going to jum'ah? What's the point of doing all of these things when I have so many problems in my life? Because you have allowed the mind to be overwhelmed. Whereas if it comes into your mind and you say, this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you surrender and you submit and you say, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that every single one of us, that my body, my mind, my soul, my wealth, my health, everything that I have belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will all return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That gives your mind peace. It gives your mind solace. It gives you closure. It gives you itminan, which is satisfaction and tranquility within your heart. And when you have that stability, when you have that sound heart and that pure heart, then you will also have a pure mind and you'll also have a pure body as well. So these elements are very, very important for us to reflect upon. As I mentioned previously on Jum'ah, there are 1 million people here in the UK who are suffering from mental health illnesses. But the solution to those problems are within us. We have the capability and we have the capacity to overcome those mental blocks, to overcome those mental illnesses or those ailments by turning to the Qur'an. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Qur'an that which is a cure for your heart, for your mind, for your soul, for your body. But you need to turn to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to look and reflect upon the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and see how he had a beautiful balance in his body, a beautiful balance in his mind, and a beautiful balance in his soul, in his heart as well. Imagine yourself that you are calling on to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing da'wah, which is the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, what he did when he called all of the tribes of Makkah and he stood upon a mountain and he said, if I were to say to you that there is a army behind this mountain, would you believe me? And they all said, of course we will believe you, because you are sadiq, you are ameen, you are the most truthful. Of course we will believe you, whatever you say. But then look at how some of the people, how the, even the family members of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi sallam responded when he said, well, I am the same person calling to you and telling you there is only one God, there is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some people replied in a very, very negative way. Some people replied in a very, very horrible way, where they swore at the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Imagine you standing up for something and the reaction that you get is people disregard you, people disown you, and people swear at you. What would that do to your mental faculty? You think, forget it, choro, keep hada. And this is what happens often. You do something for the deen, you do something for khair, you do something to help another individual, and just because you get one knock on the way, you let it get into your mind and also in your heart, and you think, forget it, choro, dafa karo, keep hada, zurura si sir dardi laniya. This is what we say, and then we move away from it. But imagine if the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had allowed that to infiltrate his mind and go into his heart, where would the da'wah be? Where would Islam gone? How would it have prospered? But he didn't allow it. He didn't give it a second thought, but he continued and he persevered. He called his family members. He invited them for dinner, and even then they rejected his call as well. So many knocks, so many mental attacks on the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and the message of Islam, and also towards the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he did not allow him to falter. He did not allow it to penetrate his mind, because he knew that you can do whatever you want to a person's body. You can whip them, you can lash them, you can do whatever. But if you can overcome a person mentally and make them feel insignificant, make them feel low, make them feel like they have no self-worth, no dignity, no self-esteem, nothing. If you can do that mentally to an individual, then you don't need to beat them. You don't need to throw bombs at them. You don't need to destroy them. You don't need to do anything to them, because you have overcome them and won them already mentally. So this is why being strong mentally is very, very important. Very, very important. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout our beautiful tradition, teaches us the importance of being mentally strong. When the Quraysh, when the people of Makkah, when they told the Muslims to get out and they boycotted the Muslims, and the Muslims were living between these two valleys, this hill, and they weren't able to trade, they weren't able to marry, they weren't able to do lots of things. It wasn't just a physical thing that the people of Makkah had done, it was more of a mental thing to break them down, to say, we will take away your trade, we will take away your ability, we'll take away your freedom, we'll take away all of these things, we want you to surrender. And this is what exactly nations, big nations, do in this day and age. That they know there's no point bombing and killing and doing all of these things. This is very expensive and we'll end up losing our lives as well. So what do they do in return? We'll put sanctions on them. We'll put restrictions on them. We'll boycott them. We'll bully them, will do so many things to mentally make them so weak that they will surrender and they will give in and they will follow what we want them to follow. We'll put on so many conditions and terms that they will have to do what we want to do. This is the mental game. So having a mentally strong mind is crucial to the success of an individual, and also is crucial to the success of Islam. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught us this throughout his entire life, being mentally strong at the attacks of the opponents, at the attacks of those people that were against him as an individual, or against him and his message. So taking care of your physical health is one of the important and crucial things, because your body is that which sustains your mind and also sustains your heart as well. So to eat well is very, very important. To be physically fit is also very, very important. So if you eat well, and if you drink well, and if you are physically fit, all of this will aid your mental ability and capacity. But if you're eating the wrong things, if you're eating loads of fatty foods, if you're eating lots of ghee and kebabs and all of these other things, and then all of these things which are not beneficial for your body will slow your mind down. It will not benefit your mind. It will reduce your capacity, and it will not make you healthy and fit. It's just like when you don't change your oil in your car for years upon years, you know exactly what happens to the engine. Similarly, having healthy food, eating healthy and drinking healthy and having a physically healthy life impacts your mind and maintains the health of your mind as well. And then that in turn also has an impact on the spirituality as well. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that eat that which is lawful. قُلُوا حَلَالْ أَنْ طَيِّبْ. Eat those things which are halal, and also eat those things which are wholesome, which are organic, which are beneficial for you from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you. مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. And be grateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that the strong believer, physically strong believer, mentally strong believer, is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the weaker believer. But there is goodness in both of them, because you are who you are. But if you are stronger in your physical self, then you'll be stronger in your mental self. You'll be stronger in your spiritual self as well. Imagine a person who is obese. Imagine a person who does not take care of themselves, and they are constantly binge eating and binge drinking. How will their salah be? How focused and how concentrated and how devoted will they be in their salah? They'll be burping and yawning and struggling to get into ruku and out of ruku and in sajda and using their hands and doing all of these things because they're not physically fit. And this has an impact on their mind. I think, chalo, just let's quickly get out of it. Always finding excuses, and they will not have the lazza or the halawa of salah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions in various places that فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. That woe unto those worshippers, those people who come to salah but they are heedless in their salah. And this not just about heedless in their mind or in their heart, but also heedless within their physical capacities as well. So we have a duty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to remain physically fit and healthy, because that has a direct connection with our mental state, and that mental state has a direct connection with our spiritual state as well. So the doctors will tell you, the dietitians will tell you, that the food that you eat directly affects the way that your brain works as well. Because the brain is the one that releases cortisol, it releases serotonin, it releases these various chemicals within your body to either make you happy, to make you sad, to make you drowsy, to make you have adrenaline, to make you, you know, eager, to do all of these things. But if eating the wrong things, then your brain will not operate as efficiently as it should be. And similarly, your sleep patterns as well. As I mentioned previously, on Jumu'ah, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had a particular rota that he would follow, and he would follow the nizam and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sun rises at a particular time because this is the rhythm of the universe. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for you. Just like all of the birds, all of the animals that are awake at that time, you as human beings should also be awake as well. There's a huge amount of benefit for you to be awake at Salatul Fajr. But when we are not waking up for Fajr, when we are staying up throughout the night, then this is going against the rhythms of our creation. And this is also having a negative impact on your state of mind and also on the state of your soul as well. So eating well, eating healthy foods and eating seasonal foods are crucial to the health of your body, to the health of your mind, and also to the health of your soul as well. The second thing that you can do to protect your mind and have a healthy state of mind is also to keep away from bad news and also to keep away from bad company as well. You will know there are certain people within your life, when you sit with them, then you walk away from them smiling or with a lighter heart, with a lighter load, and you feel more positive within yourself. This is just due to their nature and how they think and how they behave and how they talk and operate. But there will also be certain people, it's doom and gloom. But all the time you go to them and you feel like, oh my God, that's it, it's the end of the world. So having good company is crucial to a healthy mind and also to the healthy soul as well. So to focus more positively on your family members, on your friends, on your work and your hobbies and creative endeavors, and the spiritual journey will help your mind as well. So putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these people of taqwa, these people of tahara, these people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are standing, when they are bowing, when they are sitting. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That these people standing, sitting, bowing, walking, they are constantly remembering and reflecting upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you engage with them, they will share that positivity with you as well, and you will also think that yes, this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your yaqeen, your iman, your tawakkul will increase when you are in the presence of those people as well. So this is why it's very, very important to have good suhbah, good company. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran again and again mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. That fear and be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how can you maintain that pinnacle of your fear and that awareness and God conscientiousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you maintain that? You go to a program and your iman thinks, yeah, that's, you know, I'm on a high now. As soon as you leave the masjid, then you plateau and you go down. But how can you maintain that taqwa and that God conscientiousness? وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Have good company, good friendship, have good suhbah, good companionship, because these people will perpetually remind you of the khair and the goodness in your life. So this is something very, very important. Otherwise, if you sit with bad people all the time, or negative people all the time, pessimistic people all the time, or you're constantly consuming negative news, this is happening in the world, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, you think, oh my God, you know, I can't survive here, what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to my children, constantly having those negative things, then you need to take a step back and reflect and realize that min husni islam al-mar'i tarukuhu ma la ya'ni, that from the beauty of Islam is to leave those things which do not directly impact you or concern you. So yes, these things that are happening in the world, yes, indirectly do affect us. And if we can say something, we should say something. If we can do something, then we should do something. But if you can't physically do something or change the situation, then know that in your heart that what is happening is wrong. And those things that which do not directly concern you, you should move away from them. Why? Because if you do not move away from them, they will get you in a vicious cycle where you're constantly being in this negativity and you're not looking at the positivity and the khair and the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. The third thing that you can do is help others in khair. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. To help other people towards khair, towards goodness, and this will in turn help your physical state, it will help your mental state, and also help your spiritual state as well, by you helping other people. Don't just assume that when you help another person, you have only and solely helped them, but rather, you have helped yourself first and foremost, because it removes your sins, it raises your maqam in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it lightens the burden in your heart and in your mind, and it brings you closer to the other people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of this khair, puts the love and mahabbah of puts your love and mahabba into the hearts of other individuals, so other people come more and more towards you. So this is why it's very, very important to help as much as possible. With by helping other people, you will actually help yourself, and this will mentally make you more resilient. It will make you more healthy as well, because when you're helping those people who are less fortunate, less well off, it will make you appreciate the blessings and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are here in this first world country and we're thinking that, oh, we have this problem, the most concerns that we have, oh, you know, our battery's about to die, or my money hasn't been given to me exactly at this particular time, or this problem and that problem, minor insignificant problems that we face here in this country. Whereas in third world countries, in developing countries, they have no food, they have no water, they have no clothes, they are struggling to survive, they are hand to mouth, this is their existence. And when you are helping those people, it will make you stronger in your resilience and make you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us on a daily basis that charity is due upon the joint of the people every single day that the sun rises. So your hand, it is due a charity. Your eyes are due a charity. Your ears, your nose, your senses, your body, your existence, every single day when the sun rises, a charity is due upon you. To smile at somebody, to give good advice to another individual, to look at somebody with khair, with happiness, with joy, and to help somebody physically, financially, emotionally, religiously, or with your experience, to do something with the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, to help other people. When you do that, it will not only benefit them, but more importantly, it will benefit you and strengthen your mind and your resolve, and then in turn also strengthen your heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. Then finally, another thing that we can do to strengthen our minds is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trust in the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you look at all of these things, that first physically make yourself fit, and then mentally make yourself more resilient and more stronger by realizing that all of these problems and calamities are momentary. They are here today, they will go tomorrow, and that your state will constantly be in a change of flux. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never burden you beyond your capacity. And help other people as much as you can. When you do these physical and this mental exercises, then you come to the spiritual element where you have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as abundantly as possible. Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You see many people in the world, they are physically fit. You see many people in the world who are mentally strong, but they still don't have sukoon within their heart. They don't have sukoon within their soul. And these people, big bankers who are physically fit and they are mentally very, you know, strong as well, they're making billions and billions amount of money. Yet if you see the suicide rate, 800,000 people are committing suicide every single year in America. Why is this happening? Because they don't have that satisfaction, they don't have that sukoon within their heart. And as I mentioned at the beginning, there are three elements to your existence: your heart, where your soul lies, and your mind and your body. All of these three have to work in a fusion, where they work together for the benefit of the individual, and you balance yourself and you moderate yourself as best as you can. So the zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will keep you in rhythm with the divine, will keep you connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whichever emotion that you are going through mentally and also within your heart, things which are troubling your heart, whether it's anxiety or jealousy or stress or anger, or anything else, all of the problems that you have as an individual, of fear, of sadness, or grief, or anything else, all of these can be alleviated. All of these can be removed. Don't think that, oh, I have to take antidepressant tablets, I have to take this tablet, I have to take that tablet, and that's it. God better, or no. When you have the zikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will remove all of these problems. It will remove all of these states. It will remove all of these things that are in your heart and also in your mind by doing the zikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very, very important thing for us to remember. That often in the world, we look towards panaceas. A panacea is one goli or one dawai which will cure all of your things, but you won't find that. But for us spiritually, if you want to satisfy and solve the ailments of your heart and your mind and your body, then it is only found in the zikr and in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So contemplate, think about your salah, connect and engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reflect upon the meanings of your salah, on the meanings of the Quran, and look at the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Do your azkar, do your tasbih, do your tawbah, do your istighfar. Engage every single step that you take if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call unto me, I will definitely answer your call. But we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call unto Him, not just once a year when somebody passes away, or once a month, anything like that. The more you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more immediate and direct the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be. So connecting yourself and engaging yourself in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is crucial for the spiritual well-being and for the spiritual health of an individual, which has a direct impact on the mental health and the physical health as well. And focusing on the positive aspects of your life. Every single one of us has problems. Some have physical problems, some have mental problems, some have emotional problems, some have financial problems. Everybody has problems with their children, with their siblings, with their families, with their friends, with their colleagues, with their works. Wherever you go, musibata hi musibata. And one of my friends says, dunya rolo mein hai, which means the whole world obviously is in role. That's true, but the reality is that we haven't been sent here to find complete peace or solace. We've been sent here to go through turmoil, to go through these problems and these challenges of life, so we can get through to the other end, which is where we will find true peace and satisfaction, which is in Jannah, when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you think that you will just say that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will not be trialed and tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course you'll be trialed and tested. You'll have these momentary moments of enjoyment and relaxation, and then something else will come your way, and another wave will come your way. But what is duty bound upon us is to remember all of the khayr, because they far outweigh all of the musibata and all of the some of the minor problems in our lives, and focus on the positive aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that even if were you to count the graces and the bounties and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to count all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try at least every single day to remember the blessings of our eyes, and remember the blessing of our ears, our sight, our hearing, the ability to stand up and walk and talk and engage and understand and process this data and information and the world. And all of these things, these are all great blessings. Imagine for one moment that your heart was out of sync with the rest of your body, started to beat faster or slower, or started to beat in a wrong manner. What would happen when that frequency will affect your entire body? What would happen if your blood pressure were to increase? What would happen if your sodium levels or anything else were to drop? Lots of things could happen. But every single day, alhamdulillah, you are well within yourself. You have a roof over your head, you have your wife, you have your children, you have your family, you have your siblings, you have food within your home, you have provisions, you have safety, you have security, you have so much to be grateful for everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So why do we just reflect upon the small things that, oh, this is going wrong and this is going wrong? No, this is not the way of the sunnah, this is not the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never despair, never give up hope. Always look towards the positivity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and physically be fit within yourself, mentally become more resilient within yourself, and spiritually work on yourself. And all of these three things combined will enable you to become a wholesome individual and be able to follow sincerely in the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa